Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week, from a perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. I'm sorry, the Podonis is not with me yet, and that's why we're a little bit slow off the mark. His computer's not firing up, not getting out of the blocks, kind of like the Canberra Raiders today. So I'm not sure if this is going to be a one-man barbecuing alone recap of a pretty wild round 23, or if we will be joined by the Podonis. Hopefully he can jump in. We did go 3-2 on best bets, which is always decent, but we lost the mixed matchup. We keep a record with yet 100 on every best bet and mixed matchup. So, you know, we're risking generally 10 to win 9. So we're at a loss of $40 this weekend because the mixed matchup went down. It didn't stand much chance when one of the components was going against the Roosters. And that was the one best bet this weekend, which we got horribly wrong. Kind of annoying when you have 5 best bets. You get 1 totally wrong. You get 3 completely right. And then you get one that goes down to the wire. And the one that's down to the wire was this one, the Raiders. But we laid -9.5. They only won by 6. I mean, in fairness, they were down 14 points at halftime. So it was going to be a long shot to cover from there. But 20-0 second half, the Raiders keep their season alive. And once they did get their noses in front, they did actually have a couple of sets on the Knights line. For a moment, I thought Jack White had thrown another tackler off him and was going to get us that late cover. It wasn't to be. So 3-2. We'll talk a little bit more about the game we just watched. It was one of the only tight ones of the round. It's probably fair to say the first game of the round, the last game of the rounds are the only ones that were single-digit scores. So it was a round of a lot of blowouts, and that had a fair few betting implications too. So as Podonis hopefully is still trying to dial in, maybe with that dial-up internet, let's get a bit of context from a bookie perspective, because Tristan sent me this video and I honestly reckon he was a bit rattled.
Hello, Tripod family. Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and a real ugly weekend from our point of view. A lot of the favourites covering, a lot of overs saluting, and just with the way a lot of those teams compounded, it just took him to play a lot of the same game multis, all the wide options that can be really ugly from our point of view. On Saturday in particular, all three of those games were horror. And then you compound that with 5 out of 5 AFL favourites covering the line, so there was a lot of punters with some big multis rolling through into all of those games. The worst game by some margin was the Manly Sharks game, where they were just all over the Sharks minus, and they covered very, very comprehensively. The start of the round was a really good contest, and that was okay from our point of view. There was a little bit of a push when there was that uncertainty surrounding Latrell. It was a bit of support for Penrith early, but it turned out to be a pretty balanced book and a lot of punters on both sides. But away from that, it then turned very much in the punters' favour. Our only saving grace is to try to knock a few of the multis out late in this Knights game, where at the moment the Knights have got a little lead. I'm doing this just before half-time, so we're certainly hoping they can hang on. But we're going to have to really address these wide lines for the games coming into the next couple of weeks. I don't think there's as many lopsided games. It might only be 2 or 3 for the back end of the year, because luckily a lot of the lower sides play each other, but certainly looks like some teams are checked out, and I don't think that's great for the comp, but hopefully you lobbed on the right side of any wages you had, and we will talk to you Wednesday.
Yeah, no doubt a lot of multis came down to that final game, Raiders Knights, and you thought you were going to get dusted, and look, if you had 13 plus or you laid the line with the Raiders, you did fall short. But when they were down by 14 at halftime, it looked like they weren't even going to win to head-to-head, which is probably what a lot of multis were relying on. So I think Tristan won't be too excited by the way that Newcastle came out in that second half. But the damage probably could have been worse, because the favourites covered in a big way. In fact, every team, as Podonis has got in on the scene here, I think, bring him in here. Can you hear us, mate?
Hi, mate. How are you?
Okay, he's here.
I'm here.
I don't know if we can get you in any louder, Podonis. Bear with us, guys. Sorry, the board is a bit out. But what I was going to say before this game today, every team that won covered the spread. But that wasn't until the most recent game, Podonis. So I thought we'd just speak about that one. Just your takeaways on the match that we just watched. Raiders 28, Knights 22, unfortunately not covering the line for us.
Yeah, one of the most frustrating watches, wasn't it? When you see on Friday and Saturday and even the early game today, nearly every single favourite won by a big score. And we had another one as well. And Tyson Frizzell was ruled out before kickoff, which helped us in our favour. I think the line closed like 15.5 on some places. But again, we've seen it all too often with Canberra. They just come out in the first half and look a bit flat and lethargic, and I don't think the forwards laid a platform for them. And second half, yeah, there's not much more to say than Newcastle, another capitulation again in front of their own home crowd. And you saw O'Brien was frustrated in the grandstand, but I think that Canberra scoring those two tries just after half time to get it back to 22-20, I think that really helped them a lot because they didn't have to force their hand too much. They got those tries pretty early off some pretty poor play for the Knights, handing over possession to Canberra. And yeah, and then in the second half, it was more torturous for us because we just need a couple more tries and it was all down the Knights end and Canberra just couldn't seem to put that final play together, that final pass. And unfortunately, they only win by 6 points. And even at the end there as well, where the Knights turned over the ball with 3 minutes to go, I thought Hudson Young was going to take that loose ball like an NFL-style pick six and run all the way in. But yeah, the Knights just showed some desperation at the end there. But yeah, more of the same. And Canberra kept their season alive because it was looking pretty grim there. I can't recall what the odds were at halftime for Canberra being down by that score, but I wouldn't have imagined there would have been too many people that would have been happy to put some money on that, given the way that they did play in the first half.
It was pretty mind-boggling. Your season's on the line. You come out, and Raiders have won games this year being pretty gritty, and they let in 5 first-half tries, and they were quite lucky that the first 4 of them weren't converted. We didn't get the breakaway try at the end that we needed, but that does keep the season very interesting with the Raiders winning. Like you mentioned, Frizzell was out. Daniel Saifidi was scratched as well. So the Raiders' pathway just keeps opening up because their next two opponents, on top of my head, are Manly and West. I mean, yeah. Who else? Is it Tigers or Titans? Tigers.
No, Tigers, sorry.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, they're a couple of the sides you'd handpick that you'd want to play. So there's a very strong possibility the Raiders, after 2 narrow wins, are going to get to 30 points, which keeps everyone else on notice. Somebody like your Brisbane Broncos, but you can't rule out even the Roosters, the form that they're in, have 2 tough games. Rabbitohs is one of the Roosters' opponents. It's possible that could be elimination when the Roosters and Rabbitohs hook up. Eels, too, who play Brisbane this week and Storm next week. Like, one of those sides could be missing the 8 if the Raiders keep winning. So that's what's going to be so fascinating in the final 2 weeks of the season. And there were big, you know, top 8 implications in the opening game of the round. So we'll rewind because it was an upset. And it was the Penrith Panthers who defeated the South Sydney Rabbitohs 26-22. What did you make of this one? It was a pretty entertaining game that didn't really set the tone for the rest of the round.
No, it didn't. I thought South looked a bit flat, given how well they played the last few weeks. And I think Penrith came out with a point to prove, given that they did lose to Melbourne. But in saying that, we touched on it in the recap that even though they lost 16-0, it was a good loss for the Panthers because it showed how well that they've come as a side with missing their star players and they're still able to band together and defend well. And that's exactly what they did here. I thought Latrell Mitchell was a bit off. But in saying that, I thought South had more than enough opportunities to win the game. I think back to Jackson Paulo bombed 2 tries over the line and a couple crucial spills off some last tackle bombs that handed the Panthers possession. And even when the game was tied at the end, I think South switched off there on that final play. Bit of craft from Coruscant, faked the field goal and went to the right. And Liam Martin was knocking on the door all game and could have scored a couple of tries himself. But he finally scored the match winner. And that was a big chance for South because they had an opportunity to mathematically make the 8. Now they fall into this logjam with all these sides where if they somehow lose 2 in a row, then they could be staring on the outside looking in, which is crazy to think. And that's why I did want Canberra to win because I wanted to see this excitement heading into the final 2 weeks because I just love that theatre and drama that comes with the NRL. And even though some of these teams, we think that they have a chance deep in the finals, nothing for certain. There's some big games for South as well. Cowboys next week at home, and then they close the season against their rivals, the Roosters, in the new stadium, which, as you touched on, could be an elimination decider. So it was a big game for South, but yeah, Penrith clinched the minor premiership, and congratulations to them and everyone down there. Another great, consistent season for them.
Yeah, a big win for Penrith. They got back, who was back? Dylan Edwards, but they're still missing, obviously, their starting halves. Fisher Harris is still out. So for them to come back, and I thought once the Rabbitohs had stormed back into the game and levelled up the score, that South Sydney was going to go over the top of them and get the win. But Penrith, as you say, quite poetic justice there that Liam Martin scores the winning try because he had fumbled two other major moments where he could have scored. And, of course, Paolo did fumble multiple, opportunities and had a very rough night at the office. But just on that, you know, like that he's had a shocker. And I think we talk about games, we can say a player's had a shocker. But when we're, you know, a week removed from the tragic loss of Paul Green, and then the stories coming out that people are sending like death threats to a player like, you know, like Paolo because he's had a bad game and it might have cost their multi or their head-to-head or their Souths fan, that's some of the most disgusting stuff you'll ever see. So, you know, that there's no place in the game for that whatsoever. Shouldn't even need to say that. But some people almost think it's funny or think it's deserved to go after people, you know, DMs or, you know, I saw a video just last week about Ben Cummins and, you know, family members getting threats and stuff. Like, that's we ride these games with as high emotion as anybody. But, you know, that crosses so far beyond the line. And certainly if we see any evidence of that, we're going to boot anyone from our page or our group. But that just needs to be totally stamped out of the game. But one that went down to the wire and, yeah, it's pretty scary that Penrith can still win that, missing key players. And it is a damaging win for the Rabbitohs, as you say, because they've got two tough opponents. A week ago, they're looking unstoppable. And now here we are talking about the possibility that they could still miss the finals. Next game was a happy one for us. I'll bring it up on the screen. Cowboys 48 beat the Warriors 4. And our best bet was -9.5 second half, which covered pretty easily. That Cowboys second half line, that's just a well that we're going to keep going to until it's dry. I think as long as you pick the right games where you think the Cowboys will succeed, you can't go wrong backing them second half. We see it time and time again. They are just destroying teams and they are just finishing so much faster and stronger than nearly everyone else, especially the style of footy they're playing this year where they really can squeeze the life out of teams. And this was just totally one-sided. Warriors get one try off a bat-back kick. Other than that, it's all Cowboys. I mentioned Paul Green before. It was a tribute to him and the boys, you know, did him justice for sure in their performance and bounced back from a loss and an important result for North Queensland to stay in the top two, which keeps them in a box seat for that home final week one. But what were your other takeaways from this game? But Donis, is it worth mentioning you were considering a bet on New Zealand before I brought you around to the correct side in this one?
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing that we could have had a bit more in this game, I felt. Tristan did touch on the recap. It was the highest total of the year so far, 52.5 on the opening line. And I think I saw someone in our group post that the Cowboys were paying 17-1 to win to nil, which was quite a smart way to play it. And it was pretty unlucky not to cash that, as you touched on, with a pretty poor try that they did concede. And the Warriors were really shut out the rest of the game. But the Cowboys, yeah, steamrolled them from minute one to minute 80. And I did like the Warriors' first half line. That was the one thing I did say on the recap. Just be wary. And it was 12-4 with 4 minutes to go, and they would have covered that line. But, yeah, you go to sleep against this Cow side. They put two tries on in the final 3 minutes in the first half. And
that was because Reece Walsh spilled a ball. I mean, people might be saying, what do you mean they would have covered? I give you credit there. Warriors were only down 8, and Reece Walsh, regulation catch, he dropped it. And that resulted in back-to-back Cowboys tries. So I think you got a case there that if the Warriors get through that set, you're into the final couple of minutes of the half, and maybe you do get a first-half cover. But in any case, I guess glad we dodged that one. And then if anything, the only concern was the Cowboys won the first half by too much for our liking, but it didn't really matter because they won both halves by about 20 points. Do you learn anything else from that one, or we roll to the next game that I'm going to grill you on as well?
Let's roll on.
And, yeah, this won't be the funnest one for you to speak about because your beloved Brisbane Broncos lost 60-12. This 06 vibes and the Kevolution taken a bit of a tailspin in the last 3 weeks. This was an absolute blowout. And, you know, Brisbane gets a late try with Oates. The previous try they scored in the game was an intercept. So Melbourne Storm went like over 100 minutes of football only conceding one try, being a fluky intercept try. This Melbourne Storm side has totally turned their season back around. Now they've won 4 in a row. Munster is playing at fullback. They've got Brandon Smith in the starting pack. They've shifted Nelson onto an edge. They're terrifying. Obviously, Jerome Hughes was back in this one. You've got the reinforcements and the players back from injury in the outside backs, no longer a weakness either. But that's all talking about how good Melbourne are. But regardless of that, this was at Suncorp Stadium. I mean, what's wrong with the Broncos? What are their excuses in this one? Because talked about, yeah, it hurts to lose Paddy Carrigan for a month, but Carrigan's not going to make up anywhere near 50 points of difference in this one.
No, they are absolutely worlds away from the side that beat the Eels a month ago, Bankwest Stadium, where we're all applauding him how well they've played and they're surging to the finals. And after that game at that point, they were about $1.40 to make the top four after that round. And now all of a sudden, they're spotting the eight isn't even certain. So that's how far the last 3 weeks have fallen for them and how poor they've played. Yes, I understand.
Can you put your finger on it? Is it? Yeah, is it? It's more than just loss of Pat Carrigan.
Yeah. If I was a coach, then I'd be getting paid the same amount of money as what Kevy and all those guys are. But yeah, look, to me, Brisbane looked like they're not using their forwards as well as they were. I think there was a point in the season throughout the start and throughout the middle, they were coming second in post-contact meters and go forward. But I think that's stopped a bit. I think Payne Haas was the only forward for the Broncos that even reached like 90 meters. He didn't even get over 100 meters in this game. So the forwards obviously lay the platform. And I don't think Cobbo's been the same either since he came back from that concussion. He hasn't looked the same because he was devastating earlier in the year as well. He was...
He did have a hat-trick last week, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a hat-trick, but how much can you really place on that against a Knights team that is pretty struggling at the moment? But I just think that form that we saw that catapulted him into the Origin side, I don't think it's been there because he was making line breaks and busting tackles on his own and creating plays out of nothing. But it seems to fall on Adam Reynolds' shoulders at the moment for the Broncos. If he doesn't play exceptional, then they can't compete against some of these big sides. And I think the Broncos played poorly, but let's just give all the credit in the world to how the Storms rebounded, because they look a different team and they look the side at the moment that you'd say is probably second to the Panthers. Some of their play has been pretty exceptional. I really like that Munster is a fullback because it does allow him to be on both sides of the field. So it's pretty hard to defend. If there's a play the ball, the ruck, he can swing both ways. And I thought Harry Grant had his best game since Origin 3. And he was pretty poor for a while there, or most of the Storm guys were. They'd all probably call themselves out. Even Nofaluma looks revitalised because there was a stage of the season there where he was dropped by Maguire. He was playing in reserve grade for a bit for the Tigers. So I think whatever Bellamy's the water is giving them has worked wonders, and the Storm are flying at the moment. But in saying that as well, they still have two games against the Roosters and the Eels. So their spot in the top four isn't certain either, although you'd probably want to be on them to make it. But yeah.
Results have gone their way with the Rabbitohs, you know, dropping games that they could have won. But I'll put you on the spot a bit more because we'll talk about Brisbane more on Wednesday. We've got to figure out what they're going to do against Parramatta, right? But, and, you know, you and I disagree on some games. That's fine. And there's one or two, at least a game today that you had the right side in Dragons. And I've been wrong with the Dragons a couple of weeks. But 2 weeks in a row, I've had to stand in front of a suggested best bet against the Storm. So I'm just wanting to know, now have you seen enough where, like, are they doing something that you didn't anticipate? Or obviously you'd probably have a higher power rating of them now on the back of Friday night.
Yeah, that's right. But look, in saying that, we released our power ratings last week. It might have been the week before. And yep, it was still close. Like, I'm not down on the Storm. I had the Storm fifth at that stage. And it was within 1.5 points of the top team, which was the Roosters at the time. So it's not like they were down the pecking order. I just felt that the sides were a lot closer in talent, but Melbourne have really separated themselves a bit from some of those sides again. And I think all that experience and they've been there before, I think that helps at this stage of the season. And some of their players that we were questioning whether they were going to return to form after Origin, they've come back even better, you'd argue. So the Storm look great, and they only get Kaufusi to come back in that side. And
that's right.
Nelson should go back into the middle, although he's been pretty good out on an edge. And he's been great. And even Brandon Smith, has been revitalised since he had that two-game suspension for that foul play against the Sharks where he abused the referee, and he's come back, and every time he runs the ball near the line, you think he's going to score a try. So the Storm...
It might have even been 3 weeks. And, you know, we did say every single week, oh, they still miss Brandon Smith, they still miss Brandon Smith. And it's not a coincidence that since he's been back, and it does feel like they're all in, like they have all their best players on the field at the same time. You got two of the best hookers in the world. So what do? Well, you play Brandon Smith at lock, or he's even played some at prop. So you got him in the middle of the field. And then Nelson is a great prop or lock. You got him out on an edge. And Munster, as you say, can touch the ball more times. Meany holds it down at 5/8, which you can especially do when Jerome Hughes is back there at halfback. So they do feel like their time to go is now. And it does set up a mouth-watering encounter in Melbourne next week where two teams that are absolutely flying and, you know, Storm put on 60, but we'll get to a side that put on a couple more tries than that even. And those two teams are going to collide with a lot at stake in Melbourne. Let's roll a bit faster because it's hard to learn a lot when it is a total blowout. I do, of course, we'll face the music with the West game, right? But we did win here. Parramatta 42 beating the Bulldogs 6. Our best bet was just -9.5. So Parramatta, maybe some people wrote them off after being held to nil last week, but they bounced back in a big way.
Yeah, I felt they had to. They had the crowd behind them. It was a nice condition as well on Saturday, and more of the same for the Eels against some of these sides with little to play for. I think the Dogs have taken a step back in the last few weeks as well. We touched on that. It was going to be a tough trip coming all the way from New Zealand back to Sydney to play a team that was just a bit more hungry and desperate. And I thought some of those stars really showed. And Moses, I'm glad he did play because there was some talk that he might have still not been 100% fit. But yeah, you can really tell the difference he makes to that side just in his organisational skills and his play. And he really helps straighten up Dylan Brown. And they look scary as well on their day when their forwards get it right, because a few times this season they have got it wrong. But they're currently 4-0 against the Panthers in Melbourne so far this year. Oh, sorry, 3-0 head-to-head, and they still play the Storm in the final game at Bankwest. So don't write off the Eels, and we didn't, and we cashed on them this week.
Yeah, that they are definitely look like body language is a big thing this time of year, and I was looking at them. They just looked amped up. Like, they looked like this game really meant a lot to them. So I felt very confident pretty much from start to finish in this one, and certainly Moses back was pulling the right strings. And the Bulldogs coming home off their trip to New Zealand, you know, we kind of warned you guys, they played some duds in a row that just inflated a lot of people's opinions of the Bulldogs. They're a fun team. They'll look good when the opponents pull. When, you know, the heat gets turned up a little bit, you've got to remember this Bulldogs side still probably, you know, bottom six roster. They're building in the right direction. Obviously signed Seraldo in the last week or so as well. But we weren't afraid to take them on. We've won and won big against the Bulldogs the last couple of weeks. And then next game is one like, oh, I wish we were on it, or coulda, shoulda, woulda. Because we both leaned to the Sharks, kind of felt it was a bit obvious. But I have said this in the group as well. Like, sometimes at this time of year, the obvious ones are winning as well. And we'll get to that. That happened a couple of times this round. But, yeah, Cronulla 40-6 at Four Pines. What kept me off playing Cronulla was I just thought maybe if Manly's got one more all-in effort in them, it should be in front of their home fans. I think this was their last home game, and like Kieran Foran's farewell and stuff. So enough reasons. And then Talakai was scratched for the Sharks, I believe. No.
Yeah,
no, oh, sorry. Talakai didn't return. No, actually what I was meant to say was Garrick was then scratched for the Seagulls, which I don't believe we knew on Wednesday. So then that makes you, you know, even wish even more that we'd laid the 11.5 that was available with the Sharks on Wednesday, because the line closed like 14.5.
Yeah.
We still had no interest in playing Manly because we don't have any faith in them, and they're a mess, and we all know what point in the season that it all turned around. And I'll get your thoughts on this game too. As Matty Blanche says, this was the first game in rugby league history, the first round in rugby league history, that 6 different teams scored 40-plus points.
Yeah, wow, unbelievable. And, the bookies couldn't make this game, the line high enough. And the player you touched on for the Sharks that was actually out for us was Dykes. He got ruled out after the
play. Right. I don't know if that would have moved the line too much. I think what I was thinking of was the Garrick loss. Like that, as if Manly hasn't lost enough players recently, then that was a big loss for them.
Yeah, for sure. And it was more of that compound effect we've seen when a few of their stars are out, then it really shows. And Manly looked a bit lost out there, and it was more of the same for them from last week. And yeah, the bookies couldn't have made this line high enough. The Sharks were dominant again from start to finish, away from home. It was a sellout crowd as well, Brookvale. But yeah, once the Sharks survived that first 15 minutes, because Manly came hard at them, then yeah, all their class really showed. And the Sharks, again, they still seem like they're flying under the radar a bit, because everyone's talking about some of these other sides like the Roosters and Melbourne, but the Sharks are still sitting above them on the ladder, and they're the ones staring down the Cowboys, and they have every chance to get a home final, and they've got a much easier draw than some of those sides around them. So don't write off the Cronulla Sharkies.
And speaking of key players out, I mean, Finucane was injured very early in this game, and that's one of your key forwards, and Cronulla had missed him a couple weeks ago when he was suspended and stuff. So, you know, early on, as you say, like Manly had a bit of ball and Finucane was out, and we'd seen about three blowouts in a row. And when I don't have a bet on a game, I just want it to be close. I want a contest. So I was sitting there, you know, cheering for Manly, as you say, in front of a raucous home crowd. And they were just pathetic. Like, they were just like, the defense was so bad. And they just, I don't know. Like, I don't know if DCE's, like, he's, you know, you expect him to lead them. He's like won an Origin series. I don't know if he feels like his job's done, or if he's just not happy with what's happened and the playing group being fractured. But it doesn't seem like he's getting involved enough. And obviously they missed Garrett for sure. But then again, give a lot of credit to Cronulla. You know, you criticise these teams that got blown out, but what you always got to recognise is some of the sides that are dishing out the punishment are really high quality footy sides that are going to make you look bad. And it does compound as possession and you know, adds up and fatigue adds up. These games can blow out. So to me, you know, sometimes whether a team wins by 20 or 40 or 60, you know, I don't read that great deal more into it, because once it gets out of control, then it can just be one-way traffic. And speaking of that, the final margin, and I've got a bit to say on this next game, the final margin at the SCG in a game where we had West Tigers plus 23.5 is a best bet. The final margin was 66. The final score was the Roosters 72-6. All right, I got a few things to say on this one. See how many I can remember. All right, we were robbed. The Tigers should have absolutely covered that game. No, I'm joking. Okay, a few things. One reason we liked the Tigers, we thought it would be a pretty prime spot for the Roosters to rest some players. We got the part wrong. They didn't rest anybody. But I think we got the point right, that it would have been a good spot to rest, because the Tigers were so feeble, so putrid, that the Roosters could have trotted out, you know, if there was still an under-20s comp, they could trot out the under-20s. Anybody, I said this in the thread, like any New South Wales Cup or Queensland Cup side would have beat that Tigers effort. Like, you put them out in the field, they wouldn't have tackled as poor. Like Roosters were scoring tries in this game where there wasn't even a line break, or there wasn't even a gap or an overlap. They're just running through people. Well, what more evidence do you need than Nat Butcher scored four tries in this game? And West Tigers scored one, which was an intercept. Okay, another point I want to make is this was a game where we took the West Tigers. We knew nobody was really going to like that tip, and we got a lot of resistance. And I give credit. Every single person that hit me up on every type of social media, and I get DMs and in the comments, and they said that's a terrible tip. Roosters are going to thump them. Don't know what you're seeing in Tigers. Like, you all called it. You all got it right. Now, I just want to say, like, you know, and you look at the final score and Roosters won by 60 and you say, well, how easy was that? I'm perfectly fine being on a bet that nobody else agrees with. When it's a 50-50 line, what I know for sure is that if 90% of people disagree with you, in the long run, 90% of bettors don't win. So you don't want to be with the crowd, with the consensus every game. In fact, you can't be, and you can't win consistently. So, for example, a week ago, we took New Zealand. A lot of people said, what are you guys doing? New Zealand done. New Zealand are cooked. The Dogs are a good side. Dogs are going to beat them 13 plus. And New Zealand won by 24 points, right? So I've got no issue in general taking some ugly duckling sides. In this case, though, like, we clearly got it very wrong. We got two parts wrong. One was thinking that the Roosters might keep their cards close to their chest was the way I thought it. Like, you don't want to necessarily show any opponents any of your special moves, so you're just going to probably complete sets and know that you're going to win the game as long as you defend soundly. Well, it was quite the opposite. The Roosters played really positive and enterprising footy and threw it around, and the Tigers could get nowhere near them. And then the other part is, when you take a side plus 23.5, you at least need them to there to be effort. And that's the part that I can't understand, and the part I'm really quite angry about, because, you know, we get it wrong, so we'll cop our share of criticism for that. But we're not the ones out there just giving absolute putrid amount of effort. Like, they let Victor Radley run straight through their line, I think, the very first Roosters set. And although the Roosters scored off the back of that and it was overturned by the bunker, it was worrying signs. And then, you know, Tigers are kind of hanging in the game. They're only down 6-0 after 20 minutes. But somehow from that, they managed to be down 30-0 at halftime. And if you didn't think that was bad enough, they came out and let in another 42 in the second half. Kamali in the press conference says some players might have tapped out. He starts blaming the fact that they've loaned players, right, which is kind of like saying it's not his fault, it's management stuff. But I feel like it's all beside the point. Like, where's the effort? Where's the pride? You know, there's just absolutely none. And, like, also sometimes you get games that are a blowout where one team thinks they've got a chance to win and then everything goes wrong and then they just bottle it. But the Tigers knew it was going to be a really tough game. So once they were down a couple of tries, I don't see how they could be so rattled that they just stopped trying. So that's my biggest issue with this game, is that the effort was just absolutely horrendous. And the part we got wrong here was that the Roosters were absolutely red hot. And at this time of year, no matter if you think you're getting line value, you shouldn't get out in front of sides that you respect how damaging they can be. You know, before this game, the Roosters had only the biggest win of the season was by 30. And they come out here and win this one by 66. And that totally cooked the mixed matchup, which we were actually well in front with, because we had Parra, who won by nearly 40 against the Dogs. So as I was telling people in the comments, even if the Roosters won this game by 40 or 50, we still would have been in great shape coming into Sunday. But to give up, you know, 72, and even at the very end, the Tigers had the ball on the Roosters' line and Tarmow drops it, then gives away a penalty, then gives away another penalty, then gets himself sent off. Just everything you could possibly do to try and let the Roosters score one more try, which they did, make his team defend with 12. Maybe Tarmow doesn't play again this season. And that's your captain. So if he, you know, can't keep any composure and can't set any example or have any discipline, how can the rest of them? What did you learn in this game, Fidonis?
Yeah, there's definitely no leadership in the club. And you touched on the fact about Kamali and blaming some of the back office staff. But we also have to remember, he's not going to be there next year. It's Tim Sheens' show as they look forward to the future with Benji Marshall. So what does Kamali do on a week-to-week basis? I think it's pretty hard for the Tigers to really get up. And I just struggle to think how a side can go 2 weeks in a row away at Townsville and then away at Suncorp and beat those two sides and then come and put a performance like that when we're on them. It's pretty disappointing. And I'm still scratching my head thinking how it happened. But look, as you touched on, it's easy when you take a big underdog. If you get it wrong, it can go really wrong. And that's exactly what happened here. I really thought the Tigers did everything they could in that first 20 minutes to hand the Roosters the victory early, making plenty of errors out of their own end. Madden had a shocker. And despite all that, the Roosters were still 6-0 after 20 minutes. And when the Roosters had, I think, two sets in a row just before Angus Crichton's first try, I was thinking to myself watching this game, if they hold them out here, we're a chance. Just get the ball and get down to the other end. But last tackle play, Roosters had a pretty poor set with the ball, handed to Angus Crichton. And it was more, I was more shocked than anything that he did get the ball in last tackle. And there was three players on him, and he'd done a ballerina pirouette, and over he goes. And from then, the floodgates open, and defense turned to Oztag. And it was a pretty disappointing performance from the Tigers. And you saw the sheds after the game where everyone was silent, not talking to each other. And I think pretty despondent group. And even if the Roosters did rest players, they would have won this game easily anyway. So all it would have done is just given us better line value before the game, but still wouldn't have meant much to us. But
yeah, you make a good point there. Actually, you make a couple good points. So even if, like, we were hoping Teddy would have been out and stuff, but, like, let's be real, like, Teddy sits out this one, and Marnie plays fullback, they still win by massive score based on this Tigers effort. And I'll even go a step further. If the Tigers had come and played as hard as they could and played their best effort, like, the Roosters may still have just totally outclassed them. And the Roosters might have still won the game by 30 or 40. So we still can't say it's not even the Tigers' effort was the only reason we didn't cover. And I got to admit, going into the game, like, I was a bit nervous. And when you're a bit nervous on a best bet, you're always like, oh, I hope they start well. I hope nothing goes too wrong. And you can feel like, all right, they're kind of, you know, they're hanging in there. I'm not feeling too confident, but, this, you know, they haven't given up anything easy. And kind of that Angus Crichton moment was pretty shocking, and then it just got worse. But what was the difference? Like, that's a mystery. This team, you said they beat Cowboys in Brisbane. Essentially, they did beat the Cowboys. We know how it ended. So, like, Brisbane's fallen off a bit of a cliff, but how did this team beat North Queensland? Well, your answer, you talked about Jock Madden struggling, so maybe Luke Brooks is a million-dollar player because he was there up in Townsville. And, of course, yeah, I'm kind of being facetious about Brooks, but Hastings, they definitely do miss him. And, of course, Hastings played in the Brisbane win as well, and that's where he broke his leg, and things have gone very much downhill since then for the Tigers, who are now strong favourites to take out Wooden Spoon. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you know this, but honest, or anyone in the comments, don't believe the West Tigers have ever had the Wooden Spoon before, so that's going to be a first for them to add to the trophy cabinet. Last game to talk about, at least it's a positive one, because we took the overs, never in doubt. In fact, I think when you spoke to me on Wednesday, you liked Dragons and overs. And I said, oh, thing is, I like Titans, so maybe, but I also like overs. So can we find a way to put it together and find just the best overs play, which we did. And in the end, you proved to be very right in Dragons and overs. And at least we did find a good winner there. And we got a great total, which you called on Wednesday as well, because you said that you predicted the total would finish 6 points higher than what we jumped on. Mind you, we found an outlying total for sure. So we already beat the key number of 48, but this total closed 52.5, and even that was not enough. And talk about what you learned in this game, but also the general trend of like high scoring. It means a lot of same game multis are getting up, a lot of try scorers, your typical punters that back the favorite to cover the line or 13 plus, and they back their overs. They were winning, and that's why I said at the top, Tristan really did look rattled. Now, that's great for us to know that, and to a degree, most of the teams we played this week were favourites. Most of them did win well. We got burned taking a big underdog, you know, and we need to learn from that. And I think we have learned a lesson last night in a very humbling way with Wes. But, we played our first total of the year. We played overs, and there's over 70 points in this game. But I just want to warn people, it's not going to be that easy. Even Tristan, who, if you don't know, is the CEO of a bookie, he's talking about how they're going to need to adjust their totals and their lines. So the bookies are always adjusting. So we want to take advantage of anything we can. And sometimes the bookies just can't make lines high enough or make totals high enough, and that's where you can jump in on the public side and on the popular sides. And sometimes there's overreactions too, where you might actually find an opportunity the other way. So, yeah, talk about the concept of just like overs late in the season when little's at stake and anything you picked up from this game in particular.
Yeah, so just there for first touch on the points total there. It was 46.5 that we found on that line, that rogue line on Sportsbet. I also would have played this at 48. It closed at 52, as we said, and yeah, at this stage of the season with two sides that don't really have much to play for, you see these inflated lines where they're happy just to throw the ball around and play a bit more expansive attacking footy, and there's less emphasis on defense and discipline and more about trying to blood plays for the future, have some fun, create some trick plays, and there's also shorter fields created because you also find a lot more errors in these type of games when teams are trying more stuff. But we saw it last week with Gold Coast and Manly, and the same thing happened again this week. I think every total went overs this round, and it's not very often where you can have seven favourites cover the line and all eight games go over the total, and we go 3-2 on our best bets, because generally we're against, or our line of thinking's normally fading what the general public does. So in a week like this, historically, we'd probably have a losing week. If you get some of these results, but it just shows that we can back the favorites and we can back the square sides as well, as long as you get in at the right time. And that's exactly what we did here, getting it at 46.5. But you touched on the bookies can't make the line high enough, but the bookies' goal and Tristan's goal is to try to get 50-50 action on all their lines that they create. They don't want to have it lopsided or have it any liability on one way or the other. So you can sit there and say this line should have been 58.5, but they probably would have got most of the money on the under at that point. And again, their goal is to have 50-50 action. So when you can find a spot where you think it's going to be high scoring and free flowing, that's exactly what we found. I did like the Dragons too, because I was saying that I thought that they had more commitment and heart at this stage of the season. The Titans have been all too often they've come up a bit short. Yes, they have talent and some great attacking players, but they don't really put it together. I still don't like how Sexton's not in this side. And it just shows that the Dragons are playing a lot hungrier. And Ben Hunt, again, wants to win that Dally M, perhaps, put in another great performance and had probably the try saver of the season when the game was pretty much in the balance at that point at 30-26 at that point. And you also touch on as well, you like the Titans. If we did take the Dragons as the best bet, you wouldn't have been feeling pretty great at 18 minutes to go when Molo got sent off for that high shot. You would have had all your money on one winner from that point. It would have been the Titans, but from then, the Dragons win 16-0 from that point, which is pretty crazy to think how you can have a man advantage in this modern day of the NRL and lose 16-0 in the final 20 minutes away from home when you have all the momentum. So pretty disappointing for the Titans. But yeah, the Dragons get a win for their fans. It was a final game in Wollongong. And it was just another fun day for everyone in attendance. But did you pick up anything else, Jacob, from this game?
Yeah, that was a crazy finish. And Billy Newton's commented there as well. With 15 to go, you get a send-off. And the Titans had just scored a try. The send-off came directly on the first hit-up of returning that fresh set of six off the kickoff. And, I thought the Titans were going to run over the Dragons. The Dragons had several injuries. I actually was commenting in the group that the injuries were a good thing, a blessing in disguise for the Dragons. Mbai, never like to see a player get injured, but Mbai and McCulloch both injured before the 10-minute mark. And it meant that Bud Sullivan was out there. And suddenly we've got the young guns that we've been looking for all year. Your Bud Sullivan, your Talatau Amone, who had at least two in this game, two tries, Cody Ramsey out there. And they're just letting the kids play. And this is what I've been asking for all season for the Dragons. And it was exciting, and they scored 46 points. But then you get a send-off. Can't remember if they lost anybody else, but maybe like an HIA. But they were running out of troops. They looked to be running out of steam, and the Titans did look to be trying to catch them. And you mentioned the Ben Hunt, Dally M. And, that was the try-saver of the season. And I was kind of thinking, of course, the try-saver of the season would be in it, the one game of the year we've gone overs, because we've basically stayed away from total. But there was, the points were coming so freely that even though he saved the try, I wasn't even worried. It's always good when you can make a bet, and even when a team butchers a try or there's a miraculous moment against you, you're like, you can actually just take your hat off to them and say, that's fine, we're still gonna win this one easily enough. Just speaking of Dally M, you make a decent point there. Who else is in the running? I feel like Nico Hines, as I bring up going back to Saturday night, Nico Hines is going to be definitely in the mix. Is it between Hunt and Hines? I'm trying to think, could anyone else grab it at this stage? The other reason I thought of that Seagull Sharks game was because you said every game went over. Don't know about this one. Does it depend where you shopped for that line, 46?
Yeah, I think so, because it was 43.5 earlier in the week.
Okay, so early in the week you could have got that and could have got overs. And you did mention that 52.5, the total was as high as 52.5 for North Queensland. It landed 52, but I'm sure some bookies were probably at 51.5. So, I mean, this is what we always talk about, the advantage. And I've seen some of these totals, they varied by a point or two, or in our case, that best bet that we grabbed, a couple of points. And that's why you always want to shop around to get the best number. But, there was very little defence played in this game. And the Dragons, as I said before, letting the young kids play, that was exciting. Even though I did think the Titans were going to get them, that was bizarre the way that the Dragons scored the final three tries and won the game by 20 when dead set they were in a lot of danger. One other thing you said that I want to touch on before we get out of here about how this would be considered a very public weekend, all the overs, most of the favourites all covering, and we tend to buck those trends. But yet we've still come out of it 3-2, albeit, as I said before, not profit when you count a losing mixed matchup. But I think I've learnt my lesson. It's funny how a year ago I was having a ridiculous season on best bet record, like above 66% until about, like throughout the majority of the season until about week 17, 18. And then I really struggled. I had my worst month of the season between about round 19 and 23, 24. And I think I was playing few too many underdogs, catching what seemed to be juicy lines to me and not putting enough credence in the fact that some sides had packed their bags for Bali, essentially, and other sides were really warming up for the finals. And I think that's what really got me last year. And so we are not perfect, but we try to get better every year. And I think we've done a better job, because if you look at our record, we're somewhere like 75% probably in the last 5 or 6 weeks. And we've played our fair share of favourites. We haven't been afraid to lay the chalk. And that's not usually the way that we get it done on the pod, but we need to adapt as the bookies do, and as every punter, and as, you know, the definition of a marketplace is going to be adapting and getting more efficient. So we need to always stay one step ahead. So, yeah, mixed week for us, but we'll take it. We'll move forward. Some exciting footy to come. We'll be back on Wednesday to preview it. Thanks for joining me tonight, Podonis.
All good.
We'll get out of here. Guys, have a great week. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Lego.